T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, you cannot expect Cam Newton to run the ball 15 times a game.
15 runs is not sustainable for this offense.
You think that's what's going to win you a Super Bowl? There's no way in hell that that's going to happen with this particular team.
Dale Arnold.
Mike, did you have any worries after the night that Gostkowski had about sending him out there for that final kick?
And no good. That was blocked. No good.
Nope. And they did, obviously, because they weren't using their timeouts.
It splits the uprights.
Rich Keefe.
And he thought Mike was going down the middle.
Mike should have been splitting and going down the middle.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
He's got like this unbelievable package.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Not bragging if it's true. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment earlier.
Well, you go.
Nice.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dale.
Dale and Keefe with our buddy Andy Hart. Quick interjection here based on what I just heard in the open. In all the time that I've been around the Patriots and dealt with players, are there many guys who were nicer than Stephen Gostkowski while he was here? Because I was thinking of that poor guy last night, and I was feeling awful for him.
What does nice get you?
I would have stayed with him. Might want to stay retired.
Yeah, I think you're done. I think we're starting to see maybe some former Patriots should just be former players.
Yes.
And Stephen Gostkowski is one of those guys.
Maybe be a kicking expert. You know how some of these broadcasts, they bring in the kicking expert?
And Stephen Gostkowski. Shame because he has a great career field goal percentage.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the more you go out there, the lower that number is going to come.
Especially
so
when you miss.
You got to stop.
And it's PATs, jeez.
It's sort of like Jim Rice at the end of his career, you know, when he probably needed glasses and couldn't see very well and ended up getting below the .300 career batting average.
Brutal.
Because his last season, he didn't hit very well.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, guys want to keep playing. I understand it, but man, it's tough. And it's funny because the Titans, everybody used to talk about, remember like the Bears couldn't kick and they would miss all these kicks and like how, you know, big time games they would lose out on. But the Titans, they're supposed to be one of the best teams in the AFC. And if they play in some tight, close games, remember last year they just wouldn't kick field goals?
Right.
Like they just wouldn't. You're like, all right, we're going to have to score a touchdown here because we don't trust our kicker. Well, they're in the exact same spot once again.
And 42-yard attempt has missed one, had one block, and no good!
And he misses an extra point in there, too.
Well, he's missed an extra point in like 5 straight games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'll miss an extra point for you.
That rule screwed him. When Bill put that rule in to make the extra point a competitive play.
Competitive play.
Because didn't he have the record for most consecutive extra points at one point?
Money! It was non-competitive for him. Just split them. Just
then
split
they backed
the uprights.
It up, and he's missing them in playoff games. And,
poor guy.
Yeah.
And he, I liked him a lot. I had a really good relationship with him, but let's just say he has a unique perspective in that he hears the noise, he struggles. He's not that, you know, ice cold.
On to the next play.
No.
Short memory guys. Well, a lot of kickers, are a little bit different.
I heard a story about he missed a kick in the first half and threw his cleat away once, and then realized he didn't have a second cleat and had to get it out of the garbage and put it back
and
on.
And then he became a barefoot kicker again.
That's so great. I mean,
he's probably gonna
faces his challenges in terms of.
I think he's going to get cut this week.
Yeah, poor guy. Like, he arrives late. He misses.
And I guess he lives there. Well,
yes,
he lives there now. They bought a place down there, which made it easy for Mike Vrabel to bring him in.
And it'll be easy for him to send him out, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he can go drive 2 miles away probably to your house, and you can't stay here. We have a completely, we'll get to much more, you know, nuts and bolts type football stuff. But believe it or not, you have something else to worry about for this weekend's game for the Patriots.
Uh-oh.
Did you see what happened last night in Seattle? The Oakland A's.
Kraken attack?
No.
Russell Wilson.
Or that. So Oakland is playing in Seattle. They're playing a doubleheader. And it turns out that the smoke from the wildfires all through that area made it so bad that players had to wear N95 masks on the field. Their manager said, we shouldn't have been playing at all. The air quality index, if it gets above 200, is considered unhealthy. It was at 283 last night.
It's like the Beijing Olympics.
They couldn't see.
Yeah, smoke's bad. Well, Evan Lazar told me smoke's bad. You don't want none of that smoke.
Bill's wearing the N95 on the sideline, so he's ready to go.
Yes.
They probably need to hand out a few more of those windshields that Andy Reid was wearing and get those guys out there. You don't want the smoke.
Sean McVay certainly can't play in Seattle. He'll die.
No.
Because he does not wear a mask.
No. Well, his neck is safe.
He has trouble following rules.
Yeah. But I guess from what they were saying...
Can they move the game? They have time to move the game, put it somewhere else?
Indoors.
Like here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem.
Bill would be all for moving it here, I'm sure.
They're like, Bill, it's actually going to be in Mexico City.
So there are six levels of air quality index.
Obviously.
Last night they started the doubleheader at 5 of the 6. And anything above 200, there's supposed to be restrictions. It was as high as 283, and Bob Melvin said it was pretty smoky out there. Guys weren't feeling very good.
When do you die?
And they're playing baseball, no disrespect to baseball players, right? You know, it's kind of not quite the same as the physical exertion level of an NFL game. If they've got an air quality index of 283 Sunday when the Patriots take on the Seahawks, does the NFL say, sorry, Bill, you got to go home. We're not going to do this thing.
You know what Bill will say? Same for both teams.
Yep, let's go. Get out there and play.
There was
a little bit of concern this weekend about the San Francisco game, right? Because they had issues with their air, too. But they played. They lost. Nice Kyler Murray win. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins.
Maybe.
He didn't mind the smoke.
Nuke took care of the smoke.
He did. Yeah,
he probably brought more than there was already there.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
So before we get to the whole evolution of the Patriots offense and the sustainability of same, we got Fitzy's take on what it was like watching the game in the stadium Sunday. How was it for you, Andy?
It sucked. It absolutely sucked. There was no life. It was not fun. There was no noise. I still don't know exactly how all the noise worked because I went outside specifically.
It did not work well at home.
It's
at
just
all.
On like CBS or Fox will provide it, and it's just, but it's nothing
and strangely
special.
Jack it up occasionally at a point that didn't really call for it to be jacked up.
Nah, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Because I went out, I left the press box in like the second quarter, I think, and I watched from basically where the banners are, that sort of overhang where they hang the banners, and it was just like the PA announcer, these overly loud whistles, which I'm guessing were the same as they always are. It's just because there was nothing else, the whistle sound, it echoed throughout. And then you could hear, there was a drive when I was out there that the Dolphins started at the far end by the lighthouse. I could hear Ryan Fitzpatrick's call and I'm like, there's just nothing there.
Don't you think that this is a year where a guy like Cam Newton and every single player that we've talked to has said his energy. It's even more important in a year like this where you have to create and bring your own energy.
You have to bring your own. And that was also, to me, disappointing. This was an historic game.
It should have been.
It was the first game post-Tom Brady, and you replaced him with a superstar, a guy who is Superman, who came out and looked like Superman, and he's running and he's celebrating. And there's just no buzz, no life.
I don't feel bad for a lot of people, but I do feel bad for Cam Newton because I wanted him, and we obviously didn't get in the preseason. You didn't get the chance for fans to go to camp like they normally do and just sort of greet their new quarterback for the first time. So you're just hoping for at least him to run out of the tunnel and have people go crazy and know that they're happy to have him. Like, he doesn't really know. Like, maybe he goes on Instagram or Twitter, but it's not the same as having 60,000 people going crazy when you have a rushing touchdown or something like that. And who knows if he'll ever experience that.
And it may not be as good.
Like I'm talking about here, anyway.
He set the franchise record for runs by a quarterback. He rushed for 75 yards.
Game one.
And they beat a team. I don't want to, put the damper on the season here, but they were supposed to beat that team. They're at home against the Dolphins. You're supposed to win that game. They took care of business. That should have been fun. That should have been, Bon Jovi's play.
But still, I mean, they're saving grace.
But it was sad from the get-go. Right when Edelman sprinted out and did his thing, it's like, that didn't really feel the same with Crazy Train and absolutely no one cheering. It was just awkward. It was as awkward as I expected it to be.
Not the same.
And it wasn't fun.
Seats.
I turned to Ryan and I said, I'm not even enjoying this. Like, there's fun in the, because I was with
Bill.
Hand
your press pass in and give it to somebody else then, if you're not going to have a good time at the games.
We're being honest. I think that may be the last game I go to. I had no interest in being there.
Oh, all right.
Good box lunch, though.
Was it a good box lunch?
Well, pasta, salad, and cheesecake in a boxed lunch. Salad. You can't hate on that.
No, that's nice.
I don't think it agreed with me, though. Third quarter, I had to.
Did you have a problem? Did you miss a lot of the snaps?
Yes.
That's disgusting.
I mean, are we going back to your IBF issues? And
IBS.
All that stuff?
IBS.
IBS,
yeah.
I meant.
I know what IBF is. What am I, like a boxer? One of those random title holders? Yeah, the IBF champion.
He was complaining about defends the belt. Sunday night, too, right before the post game.
It did. I think it was the pasta salad.
Could have been.
Have done it.
Yeah.
Actually, forget it. I won't go too
deep. Pasta salad's like the most mild thing on the planet.
Let's just leave
it.
Let's just leave it.
It is my issue. I know that.
He knows it's his issue. That's why he has toilet paper in his car. Let's just leave it.
This problem will not define you, Andy.
Well, no, I'm going to overcome it. No, I watched most of the game.
Now he sounds like he doesn't even want to cover the team anymore. He's just like, eh.
Now he doesn't like football anymore. Yeah.
Well, I love
football.
He's done
with sports. Andy's done with sports.
Screw y'all.
Here's Andy Hart. Hates sports now.
What is this music anyway? No, I know what it is.
It's dumb Andy Hart music.
What is it actually?
Fake take Hart music?
Fake take? Ooh. Yeah. Wait a minute. When was my last fake take? Takes are genuine.
I mean, when we talk about Pro Football Focus later, we'll play it again.
Mm. Pro Football Focus.
Did you know the Patriots had the highest rated offensive lineman of the week?
Fits in nicely.
Even Mike Giardi's on board now, who I know for a fact, he hates PFF, and he's tweeting, our research staff and PFF graded the Patriots. O-line is dominating.
That's always in the bag.
Woo!
PFF is anti-Josh Allen, so I'm with PFF.
You know how else I knew that they dominated? I watched the game.
There you
I watched
go.
Them run.
Well, not... the third quarter.
Well, yeah, portions.
The toilet.
But speaking of which, Gillette, we could upgrade the toilet paper. It was a little harsh.
His big criticism is his big lead.
His better box lunches and better toilet paper.
Sunday night's game story. It's like, yeah, guys, a little rough there.
You got to get a little angel soft in the stall.
Handful of oak leaves would have been better. I don't know why they were using that.
Felt like shime on an airstrip somewhere.
Oh. Yeah. All right, so here's the key question after what we saw on Sunday. Do they have to play that way to win? In other words, everybody say, oh, well, Cam won't carry it 15 times a game. Maybe they can't win if he doesn't. Because as we said going into the season, his offensive weapons are no better than Tom Brady's offensive weapons.
From last year.
Oh, from last year.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like,
no,
fact,
no, from this year. No,
by all accounts, your second best receiver was inactive because Gunner's hurt, right? No, I really believe... And I talked to Fred Smirlus a lot about this in the Real Post Game show, that he thinks this is one of those, you know, soften up the defense. Now they're all focused on Cam, and now you can slip Damir Bird behind
him. I agree with
him. Devin Asiasi. Because you're going to need those chunk plays. You're just absolutely going to need those. Even Ryan Izzo got one. He was their long sort of chunk play, 25-yard catch in this game. You can't play the way they're playing, especially against good teams.
So also,
a good team, did the Patriots control the game?
Yes.
And what was the score in the fourth quarter?
They were up by a score.
14-11.
Yeah, they were up by
a score. And that's the problem.
Yeah, right.
If you're up 14-11, okay, you made a nice answering drive, and I understand the fumble was part of it that N'Keal Harry
had.
Well,
and that's it. You can't do that against a good team and expect to win.
Right.
Like the margin for error is
Seattle
is a
Seahawks,
bit slimmer.
When I look at Russell Wilson going 31 of 35 with four touchdowns and DK Metcalf running behind the defense for a bomb, if you're only going to play run the ball, play defense, yes, you'll beat the teams you should beat. You'll probably beat the Dolphins, Jaguars, Giants.
No, but that's just
teams.
It. And I think going into the year, there was some question about that. Like, would they be able to handle the bad teams, or are they also a bad team or an average team? And I think at the very least, you take really good coaching, I would say a good defense, not great defense, but not
good.
Average
they,
either.
They were good. No,
I
they
think,
were good.
No, but I think they will be. But I think it's also combined with they're not going to be on the field as much because your style of play, there's going to be more longer drives or obviously hope longer drives or the running clock, and it's not two incompletions, a run, and a punt.
But what happened to start the game? They punted two times or three times to start the game. Right. The old days, if you played the old Patriots, Tom Brady's Patriots, you're down 10-0, 14-0, and you know what you can do with your run game and your run first plan?
Yeah.
What do you like to say? Turn it sideways.
No, shine it up first.
Yeah, shine it up
turn
first.
Turn it sideways and then jam it way up.
Because
in there.
You can't play that game.
Yeah.
You're going to be behind. And they're going to be a front running team
but
that has to
control everybody
the
knows
game.
That they are as game plan specific as any team in the league. And for example, next week's opponent is Seattle. The Atlanta Falcons threw for 450 yards against them.
Right.
Now, it's
what
not
do they
Ryan.
Have?
I know they have Julio Jones. But
they
even
have two first round wide receivers and a top five MVP quarterback passer.
450 yards though. So even if it's half of that, it's more than what, you know, Cam Newton just did in this game. So I don't think Cam Newton's gonna run the ball 15 times every single week. There may be other weeks where he does it.
Well, he can't run it 15 times.
He won't.
My criticisms of Shime's guy, Lamar, like you can't in the NFL.
Oh,
and he's
can't.
Bigger. He's a bigger dude. He's more powerful.
Right.
He's probably better suited, although he is older, to sustain it. But you can't do that. What's 15 times 16? Like 250 carries
or
something?
It's a bunch.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of carries.
Just shave your head.
But I, yeah.
Huh, when did that happen?
What's wrong with you?
Like, we're talking about. The,
I was distracted. Sorry. Well, first time in.
We've been on the air for 20 minutes.
It just hit me. I looked
staring at
me
the whole time.
All right. So guys, is that the only way they can win, though? To your point, they're going to be playing Seattle. Let's just say Miami's a lot more offensively challenged than Seattle is.
Right.
They're going to have to score more. They're going to have to throw the ball more than they did in this game. But why do we think they're going to be able to get anything out of that based on the offensive weapons that Tom Brady fought against all season long last year?
Because of the threat of the run and the read option, the RPOs, and you're just counting on guys being sucked up, like Jamal Adams being all lathered up to get Cam Newton.
Right.
And, oh, boy, Devin Asiasi slipped behind him, and just picked up 30 yards.
Basically, you're going to run it until they go 8 in the box. Then you're going to have to throw it, and you're going to have guys single covered at that point, and he's going to have to make throws. And
they still have to catch it and make plays.
So there's that part of it, but I think they can. And I think this is why, Dale, Fitzy and I talked about it last week, and I was kind of late to the game, but I did get in there prior to week one that Cam Newton, the chances of them scoring more points is better because of his style of play. Even if Tom Brady in a vacuum is still a better quarterback than Cam Newton, Brady didn't have the guys to throw to. And so we saw it with two rushing touchdowns. We saw it with, hey, play breaks down, Newton scoots out for a 12-yard pickup. That would have been a throwaway with Tom Brady. That would have been third down. So
an intentional grounding and him yelling, he's right there!
Now, don't get me wrong. Against Seattle, Kansas City, Baltimore, they got their hands full. They're going to be underdog. Yeah, even with Brady, they would have been in trouble against those teams.
I fully agree with the idea. Was it Fitzy that,
he said this a while ago. And
Cam Newton is better for this year's offense.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean your offense is good or good enough.
But it's,
he's just better for this group. You would have sucked more with Brady because he would have been sulking about the receivers and he wouldn't have had anything to do.
Last year, the offense wasn't very good and you went 12-4. Now, part of that was
the competition wasn't
schedule was also not very good. But let's see what happens. Let's see how it plays out. Let's see who's healthy and everything else. But I think if you go up and down the schedule, there are certain games where you would say, all right, as long as they're competent, I'm not high on like the Raiders that you'll see in a couple of weeks. Like if you can play smart and, turn Derek Carr over a couple of times, you win that game.
So do you feel better about the Patriots? Are you altering your season projection after one game?
I said 10-6 before, which was higher than most, and I'm sticking 10-6.
Yeah, obviously. I have changed nothing because total I had,
you
it included
beating
Miami on opening day at home.
No, that's
we all thought they were going.
And the flip is true in Tampa. I don't feel any different about the Bucs. You know why? They went on the road to a Super Bowl contender. That's a game they're probably supposed to lose. Why are we overreaction Tuesday? Didn't get it all out on Monday? I'm where I was when I started the year.
Yeah, but we had sad Tom Brady again.
We did, yeah, and we had his coach yelling at him. There's a lot to dig into with Tom Brady in Tampa. That fraud selling Doritos. Thought that was poison,
Tom.
Yeah,
by the way, where did that come from out of nowhere? Notice he wasn't eating any of them the way Gronk was.
No, but he's still collecting the paycheck.
He's caressing the bag.
He's still pimping them. He's pimping them like a drug dealer. They don't snort the line. They just tell you to.
Pimps to deal drugs? Wouldn't that just be a drug dealer?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Hey, pimps.
Well, you gotta, pimps. The more you can do in this world, you're going to diversify your business,
that's
your
fair.
Portfolio.
So we'll talk about Bruce Arians' coaching style and whether or not Tom Brady likes it or not when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Keyshawn Johnson joins us at the top of the hour. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30 today, and it's back by popular demand. Because the Celtics open up the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. We've got Keefe's Keys to Beat the Heat. I just love saying that. I'm going to say it several times today. It's coming up a little bit later on. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
Tom Brady was featured in a Lay's Doritos Tostitos commercial yesterday with Gronk. Did you guys see this?
Yes, I did. He was shining
his
helmet.
So wait a minute. Are processed snacks now on the TB12 acceptable list?
That's actually a great point. Look at you. 2 for 2 today. I'm actually really proud of you.
Come on. Did you ever think Tom Brady would be involved in a commercial like that when he sits and lectures us on a regular basis about what we should put in our
body? Are you calling Tom Brady a hypocrite?
Yes.
It did seem a bit hypocritical, didn't it?
You think?
A little bit. Jumped out on all of us.
A little odd. Now, I rarely would question somebody that's just, going after the money. Like, listen,
he needs it.
Your life's a hustle. I don't care how much money you have. You want more. That's just how it is. But when they contradict each other, that's where I have a hard time with it. Right? Like when you really pitch one thing and then you're also willing to accept money on the other, I'm like, all right, well, you got to kind of pick and choose here.
Is there any out here? Like, I'm not a nutritionist. Is it possible that Tostitos and Doritos, are they like the healthiest snack?
No.
Andy, I don't think that's right.
I'm just asking. Considering it's what I stuff my face with every day.
That's what I was wondering.
Are they sneaky healthy? You're like, I never knew it for years, but Doritos, good for you.
No, I don't. I just check the label on the back.
You know how Tom does that candy around Halloween that he pimps for somebody?
Candy.
Unreal. Yeah.
Or unreal candy.
And it's unreal how bad it is. It does not taste like candy. It's not good. It's awful.
Right. He's had some classic commercials where he's pitching candy.
But this is total fraud. As I said, when he was on our airwaves, whatever that was, 4 years ago now, and, you know, Frosted Flakes are poison and soda is poison and we're putting that in our kids' bodies. And now he's out there. And I understand he wasn't actually on the commercial eating Doritos. But
he was the only one who wasn't.
But he's selling them.
Well, it jumped out at me that he, in effect, what he's saying is, look, I'll tell everybody to buy them, but I wouldn't eat them.
Yeah, see, that's...
isn't that what he was saying?
Yeah, and that's the epitome of a fraud hypocrite that's just taking a paycheck.
That's the pitch man I want.
Right.
I want a guy, hey, just be in there. You don't even have to touch it. Don't even look at it. We just want you, like, associated with
the
chip.
Polish your helmet. We'll just pretend that they're there on the bed for no reason.
I'll do the ad for just a bag of chips a week, and you can watch me eat the entire thing.
Oh, yes.
That's all I need.
I was impressed with Gronk. Doritos in bed.
Yes.
It's one thing to bring a bag of Doritos, but then to put, like, actual nacho ingredients on them.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah, it is. I was also wondering, I apparently have no idea how commercials work, because that seems
they're
like,
on in between the games.
No.
And they pay your salary.
Well, yeah. I understand that part, but I was wondering how much Tostitos, Lay's, whatever the parent company is, paid for that commercial. They have a litany of superstars.
Yeah.
Right? There's all these.
Yeah, what's the budget there for that?
That's like
just a write-off.
And didn't that feel like it should have been like a Super Bowl commercial?
I mean, yeah, a little bit.
That's a multi-million-dollar production with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, and I liked it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. Other than the Brady angle, that he's a fraud, and you know, poison is now something he pimps because he needs the money.
That's right. Drink a lot of water; you won't get sunburned.
A quick, quick note about commercials.
Yes,
only because we're talking about them, and it happened last night. I didn't watch Dancing with the Stars; got no urge to. Carol Baskin was on there, made her debut, and all that stuff. Ew. So, did you see what her family did? Which I kind of respect.
I love it.
Her family bought an infomercial, so to speak, on Dancing with the Stars, talking about her missing husband, who we all think she probably killed, allegedly.
Yeah, Don Lewis. Jeez. Justice for Don Lewis. And it is kind of crazy. I mean, it kind of is the modern world that we live in. But Carol Baskin, if you watched the Tiger King documentary, there are so many questions about the
disappearance. By the way, does that not feel like it was about 8 years ago?
Well, that does, too. But think about this. Her missing husband, at the very least, there's a lot of questions surrounding her involvement.
Yep.
But one thing we do know is the way she treats those animals and the people who work for her, like, that's not a good person.
No.
Not a good person. Cuckoo. And yet, Dancing with the Stars is like, yeah, this is what we need. And they know what they're doing, too, because when they revealed the cast, they're going through the whole thing, and they're like, Charles Oakley, Vernon Davis, like, Anne Heche, blah, blah, blah. They're like, dot, 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 and Carol Baskin. They're like, they know they brought a villain onto the show, but it's
And didn't they put her on last night?
Yes.
Because the same thing, drag the viewers along. You don't know when Carol's going to come out
She's most notable. I mean, she's
dead behind the eyes.
Brady and Dancing with the Stars doing the same thing. Cha and Ching. Money.
I know.
That's what's driving their decisions.
But you would think, because ABC is run by Disney, that maybe they would...
It doesn't matter anymore. That used to matter. I don't think that matters.
Do you think they want killers on there? How come O.J. Simpson's not on there?
You think Disney's losing money?
Why isn't the juice on
Disney Parks doing?
AB was on there.
How's Disney doing financially?
AB didn't kill anybody.
They need money. It's easy to have morals when you're rolling.
Get it. Hey, Twitter World, get him on there.
There's another season coming.
Hey, Twitter World, yours truly.
You think I think they'd have him on.
I actually think this is the last season. I think that they have jumped the shark. Once Tyra Banks took it over and fired everybody, and she's the big star now, it's done. I didn't watch a second of it last night.
Well,
but my dancer daughter, who just lives on it, just said to me, forget it, they're done. This is over.
Why, because of Tyra Banks?
Tyra Banks, Carol Baskin.
I love Tyra Banks.
I loved her when I was young.
Love Tyra Banks. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I mean, Carol Baskin is definitely an odd choice, but I feel like people watch the hell out of the show. Like, it always seems to do really well.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it does well with, like, random older generations, younger, like, the different demographics.
I've never seen a second, but it's always, like, one of the top-ranked shows every single week when it's on.
Maybe the ratings are down, like football.
All right,
across
so
the board.
We'll get into that later on as well. But before, let's get back to Tom Brady for just a moment.
Fraud.
Who had, well, that's an aside. Had, by his standards, kind of a day. To be expected, to your point, Andy, they're playing in New Orleans against a very good football team. A lot of people think the NFC favorite to go to the Super Bowl again this year. The fact that they lose there by 11 points shouldn't shock anybody. But Brady, a couple of INTs, won a pick six. His coach, Bruce Arians, kind of lit him up a little post-game. And then yesterday, after he had an opportunity to look at the film, of course, came back and talked about his quarterback looking like his quarterback in practice, but...
He looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. Got... Some wide receivers had to do a better job of winning one-on-one when he decides to go their way. Yeah, he put us in the right run checks a couple of times. So it was a learning experience that way. Can't say that we were out of sync because we started out as good as you could start out going right down the field, you know. Then we don't get any more chunk plays other than pass interference penalties. And, I think it's a great learning experience. It's just round one of a 16-round fight, and we'll learn from it.
You know what he wanted to say there? He looked like Tom Brady in practice. He looked like Jameis Winston in the game.
Yeah, he did.
Like, if you're a player on that team, you're like, wait a minute, we brought in Tom Brady.
Right.
And he's doing the exact same thing Jameis Winston did.
He's throwing pick sixes.
He's fumbling. There's three turnovers.
Yeah.
He's on pace for how many interceptions?
32.
That's right in the range of Jameis Winston.
Didn't Jameis have 30 last year?
Yeah. Not sure he's going to throw for 5,000 yards at this rate either, like Jameis did.
Good point. Yeah.
Like, and Tom Brady has now become, in recent games, a pick six machine.
Yes, he will do that.
So three straight games with a pick six.
That's problematic.
Yeah, he was really bad. But my biggest shock, and I guess maybe I didn't follow Bruce Arians as closely, but I thought he was the player's coach, the win or lose, we still booze, like the, you know, come down here, we're going to have a lot of fun, we chuck it, yeah, you throw a pick, whatever, we got the offense, we're going to throw the ball a lot, so it doesn't really matter. But no, he crushed him. He crushed him in the post game, and then he got him off the hook on the Mike Evans pick. But then the next day, but he's still talking about how good he was in practice. He was saying how on an out route you can't throw it low and inside. Like, he was crushing Brady way more than Belichick ever has. Belichick never complimented Brady, but he also never threw him under the bus for interceptions.
Yeah, say what you will about Belichick and his style and surly and all of that stuff. Can you remember him ever specifically calling out a player in front of the media the way we heard Bruce Arians do with Brady?
The closest thing with Brady, but it wasn't on the field, it was the Deflategate where he said, well, you got to ask the quarterback about that. That was the closest time he really came to kind of throwing him under the bus, but it was never, yeah, you got to have a better read than that, or you can't throw the ball there. Like, I mean, maybe it's happened. I mean, it's 20 years of press conferences, but nothing stands out to me. I mean, Andy, you were there for all of them.
Like, I don't recall.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, my memory is not all that great, but I do not recall any specific. Because he stayed, and even Arians had to deal with his own little mini mess when he said one thing post-game, then watches the film and kind of changes his. That's why Bill doesn't give you definitives or specifics, so you can nitpick it.
No, there's always
the video.
I got to watch the tape.
Yeah, we have, you know, I'm just off the field. I got to watch the tape. But,
smart.
You know, looks like we made some throws. Looks like we left some others out there. All these vague comments that can go one direction or the other.
How do
whereas,
you think Giselle feels about this? Because
not happy at all.
She doesn't want Tom to be Johnny Bleepin' Foxborough, and she wants him to be appreciated. Yeah. At one game in Tampa, I don't feel like he's being appreciated. Now, there's not a lot to appreciate.
No!
But that's not going to stop Brady and Giselle from feeling sad for themselves.
And I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Yeah, Tad didn't look like a lot of fun.
She's like a little league mom who's like every year, no, he didn't like that coach. He wants to go back into the draft and play for a different team.
Right.
That's who she is.
Uh-huh. So Sunday, Bruce Arians said both of the interceptions were Tom's fault. And he went through each one of them, what the mistake was.
Yep.
Yesterday, he had a different story leading me to believe, and I said to Rich yesterday, it sounds like maybe the quarterback talked to the head coach at some point. But this is what Arians' take was yesterday about one of the two interceptions.
Bruce, I know you said on that first interception that it was on kind of on Tom Brady, not looking in the right spot maybe, but it looked like on the tape that middle of the field was open and Mike Evans maybe should keep that route going toward the middle of the field. What were your thoughts on that after seeing it on tape?
No doubt. You know, it wasn't cover two. It was more of a quarters coverage, and Mike should have been splitting and going down the middle and never stopping.
Really should ask those forklifts to take a break while he's doing Zoom calls.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but that's only one of them, though. Like, he was still overall
the other one
critical.
Is flat out. You know, the other one, he can't even walk that one back.
Yeah,
the pick six.
It's not like he had a, oh, crap, like Brady's going to be mad at me thing. Like, he corrected that one, but for the most part, like, talking about how he looks great in practice, so I'm really surprised how bad he looked in the game. Like, and that's pretty bad.
The other thing you brought up is, you know, his sort of gunslinger coaching mentality.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But they were throwing, like, a short out. Like, I think he's more, if you want to take a shot on a deep ball to Mike Evans and it's picked off, okay, we'll live to fight another
play. I was going to say, Jameis Winston's 30 picks, how many of those, roughly, do you think were 15, 20 yards downfield? I feel
probably
like
half of them.
I'm guessing a lot of them, because that's what they would just do. They would just chuck the ball so far down the field, double coverage to Mike Evans, but you know what? Hey, hopefully Mike makes a play.
And didn't Arians specifically have a comment post-game about, you know, if you don't throw it low and behind him.
Yeah,
and
he said,
whatever.
You don't throw it low on an out route, you don't throw it low and inside.
Right, okay. So he was really specific on the problems there. So I think that's the, if you want to take a chance on like a deep post to Mike Evans, okay, try to sling it in there. You know, we win some, we lose some. In the long run, that'll pay off. We trust Mike Evans. But some of the other stuff, if you're making wrong reads on little outlet throws and things of that nature, we're in trouble. He also had a comment yesterday about sort of, he'll have a little more, whatever, vin and vinegar or whatever you want to call it this week. And I thought that was, like, to me, the coaching comment there is, you know, Brady's been doing this a long time. I don't think he's going to treat this weekend. You know, he's always the most prepared. He always works hard. Almost a little kick in the pants there.
Like, he wasn't as into it this week.
Right.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Not into the season opener in New Orleans against your division rival.
Yeah, against Drew Brees.
If you're not into that one, outside of, you know, playoff games, I don't know when you're going to be into
it. And there was that meme making the rounds of him sitting on the bench, so Brady, that said, like, I've made a terrible decision.
Yeah. Horrible mistake.
Like, I watched Cam. He seems like he's having fun up there
in
New England.
Cam's having a blast. Yeah, we're having a blast watching him, too.
And trust me, Brady has heard much, much worse in meeting rooms, behind closed doors, as a member of the New England Patriots, but he's never heard anything like that at a podium, well, in this case, a Zoom video session with reporters. He's never heard his coach doing that to him before.
No, and, you know, if you want to really continue with the comparison that we're going to beat to death for the next 16 weeks, you got Bill talking about how Cam Newton is, you know, he always puts the team first, and I thought Bill was as positive post-game, not only on Cam, but did you guys hear the Chase Winovich answer where he's a good player for us, and I think he's going to continue to be a...
Chase was good the next day on
Bill
Derek Rivers.
Bill was different.
On
Derek Rivers.
Going crazy for him.
Bill was like telling me Chase Winovich is going to be good moving forward. He almost never projects what a player is going to do. He'll tell you, yeah, I thought Chase played well today. We asked him to do a few. But then he said, you know, moving forward, he expects him to be that. So even if you want to make that, Bill seems a little more positive. Now, if you were so inclined to conspiracies, you might think that's intentional, and that's comments pointed towards a quarterback who may be in Florida now and who may be getting chewed out by his own coach. And, hey, Tom, you still having fun down there with your first time you ever had an offensive coach? Well, that offensive coach seems a little annoyed.
He sure does.
Well, when we come back, we'll hear what Bill Belichick sounded like yesterday when he was on with OMF. Keyshawn Johnson joins us at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart on WEEI.
Yeah, it's not our job to make the rules, so we just need to play within them, and we need to take care of the ball.
Safe to say that that's like a learning moment there for Nikhil, reaching for the goal line like that, or getting it stripped?
There's nothing more important than ball possession, so. Yeah, we all need to do that.
Or maybe scoring. That might be more important.
I love how, because he responds very well to the Lou Maloney questions every week.
Always. Yeah, always.
I love how...
That's his boy.
But in his response, where I feel like he's trying to... I don't know. Whatever you want to say he's trying to do there. But he says, yeah, we all need to do that better. So you're saying as a coach, you need better ball security? That's what he's saying there. He goes, yeah, we all need to do that. Okay, so you're telling your guys up and down the sideline, hey, Josh McDaniels, you yourself, hold it, tuck it away. Tuck the ball away.
Maybe in the locker room, you know, they do those post-game things. Maybe he held up the game ball and fumbled it or dropped it.
Hang on to the ball better. Everybody. Across the board. Starts with the ownership group.
That it wasn't even,
better
in my
ball
opinion,
control.
The worst N'Keal Harry play of the day. And I know it was a turnover and that kind of swung the score.
Yeah.
That swing pass where I thought I was ready for a N'Keal Harry highlight. And you know, Dale.
No, a guy smaller than me tackled him.
Yes, Dale, I don't.
He just sort of nudged him.
Right.
He just shoulder tackled
and
him.
Even
and even
me,
down
I was
pike.
Like, okay, N'Keal, this is your spot. It's Canadian football. You have a head of steam. There's a little guy. Why are you going ass over tea kettle backwards?
I thought he looked really awkward.
Yes. I thought the entire game, I thought he actually looked more athletic a year ago.
I wonder if the shoulder is in it. He was on the injury report with a shoulder injury. I wonder if that's an issue. Even on that play, maybe he couldn't lower his quote-unquote shoulder because he's trying to protect himself.
But even on a couple of his catches, they weren't smooth.
Has he ever been smooth?
See, I thought last year, when given an opportunity, if he lined up
like
in the right place.
Sweep.
I don't know, but no, I thought he looked like uncomfortable.
I am working so hard because of Dale, actually. I'm working so hard to keep reminding myself N'Keal Harry has now played in what, 9 games?
Yeah.
Like,
that
and just
right.
sort
eight,
of
or eight even.
Hold back on the he's a bust or he's never going to be worthy of the draft pick or never going to be a top option.
Sometimes your first, thought on a player is right.
And I still think it is. But let's let him get to 16 games. How many games has he played? When he gets to 16, at least we can say now he's no longer a rookie. You know, the Parcells thing, if it doesn't bite as a puppy, maybe it's not going to bite.
He's played 8 regular season games in a playoff.
So he's halfway there. I got to give him 8 more regular season games before I can then say he's toast.
All right, let's be honest. There was a decision, a coaching decision made on Sunday that had us a bit perplexed, in which Jarrett Stidham was inactive, DNP CD, and Brian Hoyer was your backup. So Christian Fourier, with Bill Belichick yesterday, wanted to get to the heart of the matter.
So, Coach, Brian Hoyer was the backup quarterback for today. Was that because he was just better suited to be the backup in this particular game? Or was it because something physically with Jarrett Stidham?
Coach?
Well, everybody's physical conditions listed on the injury report, Christian. I know you're aware of that. So,
yeah.
Not on the injury report, then they're not injured. If they're on the injury report, then we list their injury.
So, is it fair to say that Brian Hoyer is the backup quarterback moving forward?
I mean, we played one game. I don't think anybody's really established a whole lot at this point. I mean, some guys are ahead of other guys, but I mean, we'll see how that goes. I don't know.
Sorry, but.
So my takeaway is Jarrett Stidham nowhere near ready for playing in the NFL. That's my takeaway. He's not hurt. He is worse than Brian Hoyer.
But
not a good sign.
I wonder when he was hurt at camp if that set him back.
Yeah.
That he wasn't able to get the reps he would normally get. Not able to do the things he would normally do. And while he's healthy now, Bill didn't think he was ready yet to step into the backup role.
I think we actually talked about that somewhere in that time span where he went to the hospital, then he was sort of limited for a few practices.
Yeah, he didn't really miss much practice. Like he got less
his
reps.
His reps went down.
But
it's
also
like, are his
getting
reps down because you're now the third string quarter? And
right.
And I think that was a fair decision. If Brian Hoyer's going to be here,
so,
you know Brian Hoyer is not your first string quarterback. Like, you knew that coming in. Like,
no,
I know he thought he was competing or whatever, but he wasn't.
Quarantine quarterback like some teams are doing.
Okay, well, buddy, didn't he buy a house here? Isn't he planning
on
living here?
Yeah, no. So I'm just saying that
it's not like,
Bill doesn't
what's
seem to be
in, Texas.
In on that. No, I know.
So I that didn't really surprise me other than the fact that we tried to talk for 3 months that Jarrett Stidham was the franchise QB.
What a waste of time.
And now he's the inactive third-string guy watching from the stands. That's the only thing we lacked was the visual. Did you see the Josh Rosen, like, watching from the stands?
He was sad.
We didn't have that visual with Stidham sitting in the stands.
When we come back, Keyshawn Johnson will make his regular weekly visit with us, Dale and Keith, with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.